Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us here on the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Sorry we missed you last week with a little bit of hiccups that we had going on here at the station, but we're back, we're up and running, and the shows will be coming to you each week, brand new shows. This evening, before we get too deep into our show, we do have a very special guest here at the beginning of the show that we're going to talk to. It's Lisa Duwalaby, and if you've watched the TV show Ghost Hunters, she is a TAPS member. She has been on the show. She's been on a lot of the episodes this season. And Lisa, along with two of the other girls that you've seen from that show, Donna LaCroix and the beautiful PJ Donovan, Paula Donovan, are all getting together. And they've put together a really cool little deal that they're doing to help raise money for charity. And on the line with us, we have Lisa Duwalaby. Good evening, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you tonight?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Great, great. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming on with us. Let me talk to you real quick here about, first of all, the name of the deal that you put together is Divas of Darkness.
That's correct.
So automatically, you know, Darkness on the Edge of Town likes it. So, yeah, Divas of Darkness, and it's the three of you, Donna LaCroix, Paula Donovan, and Lisa Duwalaby are doing this calendar together, correct?
That's correct.
It's a paranormal calendar with the three of you in it, and it's going to be available. Is it open and available right now so people can go look it up while we're talking?
It is available. We have one picture up right now as a preview.
Okay.
And if they want to check it out, they can go to www.divasofdarkness.net, and they can also order from that site. And what we've done is we put this together to empower women, first of all, and also we wanted to do something for breast cancer research. So we thought this would be a nice way to promote awareness of breast cancer and to raise some money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Right. Well, explain to us a little bit about that. Why did you choose to go with the Breast Cancer Foundation?
Well, we had been wanting to do a project together, the three of us, for quite a while. And we had talked about doing it for a charity. And recently, I had actually had a scare with breast cancer myself. And I had always been aware of it, but I had never been actually, you know, really educated about the subject, I'm sorry to say. And through my own scare and through the education that I received from my doctor, which was very welcome, I realized that this was a very, very prominent issue in the women community. So, you know, the more I read about it, the more interested I became. We discussed it amongst three of us, and we decided that this was a very worthy cause and that we wanted to contribute to help raise awareness. I mean, this is a killer of mothers, daughters, sisters, everyone, and,
right.
And we need to make people aware of it.
Well, I appreciate that. So what you've done is you put together a calendar. Now, it's not just one picture. There's a different picture for each month, correct?
There is. There's pictures of the three of us on some of the pages, and then there's individual photographs of each of us.
Okay. And people that want to pick this up can go to divasofdarkness.net.
Correct.
And how much are the calendars going for?
The calendars are $15,
and great.
A percentage of that goes towards the Breast Cancer Research Fund, and that does include shipping and handling as well.
Oh, that's great. So for only $15, you can get a calendar with three hotties on it and know that it's going to go to a good cause. That's always a helpful deal.
Correct. We're now, very proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. The picture of all three of you, and your husband is a photographer that did most of the stuff for this, right, Ray?
That is correct.
Phenomenal photographer. I've seen some of the awesome pictures he's done of other people, and then the group photograph of the three of you is absolutely beautiful.
He's a very patient man.
Yeah. How did he deal with all three of you trying to primp and get ready for these photographs at the same time?
We could probably write a book about that.
Oh, I bet.
But we actually, you know, we all get along really well. We're great friends.
Good.
You know, in addition to being coworkers. And I wanted to add that each calendar is numbered. It's a limited edition and signed by each of us. So Paula, Donna, and myself have all signed the calendars.
Awesome. So if you're a fan of the paranormal, you've seen these three lovely ladies on the TV show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel. Make sure you tune into that. And it's every Wednesday night, of course. Our good friends Jay Grant, and they're always doing fantastic things for charity. And it's so nice to see that other members of the team are doing it. I know Jay and Grant have done a couple other live events for children's hospitals and things like that. So it only seems perfect match that the women of the TAPS crew would get together and do something fantastic like this for a charity, and such a worthwhile charity as well.
Right. We just joined them last weekend, and we did a charity for a children's hospital. So, yeah, it's something that all of us like to do. We love to contribute and help any way we can.
Now, let me get this right, too. Now, we're going to have, of course, you and Donna are two of our celebrity ghost hunters that we're going to have with us at the Queen Mary coming up here in January 14th through the 17th. And
yeah,
you're going to be out there for that. Now, you're going to bring some of the calendars there as well, so people that are going to attend the Queen Mary event. Of course, you don't have to wait. You want to get your calendars now, but you will have them there to be in person and sell them and make them available to people at the Queen Mary event, correct?
Absolutely correct. Yes, we will.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. Lisa, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the show this evening and sharing that little bit with us. And I'm glad to hear it was nothing more than a scare for you with it, and that hopefully everything is healthy and good with you going forward.
Oh, thank you very much, and I really appreciate you having me on to discuss the calendar on the show.
I ain't no problem. Anytime you guys are doing anything for any kind of charity, you never have to hesitate to give me a call and ask to promote it on the radio show. You know we're here for you.
I know you are. You're a very sweet man.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa. And thank you again to you, Lisa, to Donna, and also to Paula for putting together this calendar to do a great service for a really great organization to help out a lot of people. Thank you again. Again, the calendars are only $15. That includes the postage and handling. You can get those by going to divasofdarkness.net. Again, that's divasofdarkness.net. We'll actually put up a link for it on our website at darknessradio.com, so that if you miss it, you can just go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the link, and you'll be able to go in there and order the calendars up. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest for the evening, Mr. Adam Bly. He is a demonologist, a clinical psychologist, and one hell of a nice guy. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, when she moves,
thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com, serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
interest in the unknown. We want to know more about the paranormal. Come and join us in Para-Investigators, the 24/7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
Do you love to travel? Do you love to explore the paranormal? Then join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show as we take our show on the road. January 14th and the 17th, we'll be going to sunny Long Beach, California to investigate one of the top five haunted spots in the world, the Haunted Queen Mary. Joining us on our journey are the lovely ladies of TV's The Ghost Hunters, Donna LaCroix and Lisa DeWallaby, paranormal investigator Patrick Burns from Court TV's hit new show, Haunting Evidence, and psychic-sensitive Chris Fleming from Dead Famous on the Biography Channel. Together, we'll explore the mysteries and history of this famous floating haunted playground. Joining us will be some other special guest speakers and authors. It's a great chance to meet others that are involved in the paranormal and share your interests. For more information and prices, visit our website at darknessradio.com, then click the Trips tab, then click on the Queen Mary. Remember to check back for information on upcoming trips as well, and tune in live each Sunday night to hear a new episode with Dave and Tim and their guests covering all aspects of the paranormal on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Bigfoot, Nessie, Ogopogo, Yeti, Chupacabra. Please stop calling these guys names. Dave and Tim have feelings, you know.
Back to the lock with ye, Nessie.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Good evening. Welcome back to the show. As you just heard, we are doing that Queen Mary trip. We still have about 20 tickets left, so if you are interested in attending the Queen Mary, it'd be a perfect Christmas gift to give to somebody on your loved one's Christmas list, or just get it for yourself. You can come on out and join us as we go to the Haunted Queen Mary with our guests, Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters, Lisa and Donna from Ghost Hunters, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. We also have Christopher Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. We've got Peter James, the psychic sensitive, who's been aboard the Queen Mary for quite a long time, and you've seen him on about 41 episodes of the TV show Sightings will be there. The author Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and our next guest, Mr. Adam Bly, who is a clinical psychologist. He's also a demonologist and a paranormal investigator. Adam will be there. So you've got a full lineup of people that will be there to entertain and enlighten you and share some really cool information about the paranormal that you may not or you may have known, but learning a different angle on it. We're going to also get to investigate the Haunted Queen Mary, so you're going to want to join it. For those of you interested in doing these trips, you can go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the Trips tab, and you'll see the link there for the Queen Mary. We also have Return to the Stanley event, and we're going to all be going back to the Stanley Hotel on March 29th through the 31st. Again, that's March 29th through the 31st. We're going to be going back to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. And, of course, the Stanley Hotel is what Stephen King based his book The Shining on. And we went out there in November, Tim, myself, huge group of our listeners not had a great time. So many people with personal experiences getting to hear so many speakers, and we have a lot of the same speakers that'll be part of the Stanley event. So if you can't make the Queen Mary, make sure you come out for the Stanley event. We'll get into this evening's show. We're going to talk to our first guest. His name is Adam Bly, and as I mentioned, Adam is a psychologist. He's a demonologist. He's a parapsychologist. He's a rudimentary man. He's a Neanderthal man. What else we got going for him, Tim? I don't know. I feel like he needs a bigger, broader, like we need music bed underneath him.
He's a sanctified man?
Yes, he's a sanctified man. So we'd like to welcome onto the show Mr. Adam Bly. Good evening, Adam.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Appreciate having you with us. Now, you know, Adam, we got to meet 2 years ago out at Penn State at the UNIFCON 4 conference, and your talks were the couple that I really wanted to go check out, and I was totally blown away by the talks, so much so that I've asked you to join me on the next couple of trips so that you can come out and talk and share these thoughts and ideas with our listeners and with fans of the paranormal. But we wanted to have you on the show for the people that can't make it out to these events so they can get a little taste of some really intelligent conversation about the paranormal. And also, I know that you've got your own agenda with trying to work with the church to try to help people understand more about the awesome, cool field of demonology and how radical it would be to be a member of the Demonologist Club, right? Yeah, not so much. Well,
yeah,
that's why we want to talk yet. So hopefully you can talk about that a little bit tonight as well. But let's start off. Give us a little background on Adam Bly and what you bring to the paranormal field and why, again, people should listen to your thoughts and opinions.
Well, I myself am not important at all. All I'm trying to do is bring some information from the field of psychology and broaden people's understanding of what is normal human experiences that might be not typical but are normal, that get interpreted as the paranormal. There's many things that are misunderstood as paranormal and that people get very worked up and scared over that they don't need to be. And so that piece of the education, I think, is important. And I've just been lucky enough to have some background in psychology, and so I'm trying to bring that into the field because I saw that as kind of a missing piece. And then the other piece that I'm trying to communicate to the paranormal community and kind of the people and the fans and the people that are interested is some of the realities about demonology. And it's a word that gets thrown around a lot and I think is sometimes misunderstood and glamorized when it shouldn't be. As something cool or intense or something we should all run out and go do. And that's really not the case. And so I'm trying to educate people on that piece also.
Well, let's start off then talking, because this is what I was really interested in when I first met you, was the psychology of the paranormal and how so many of the things that frighten the living hell out of people are so easily explained by actual physical conditions that we may be having and actual mental, not problems, but mental connections and things that are going on in the brain that help you to discern these things that you consider to be paranormal. Now, you're not poo-pooing the whole idea of there being no paranormal. You do believe in the paranormal. You've seen it in action, correct? But a lot of the things people are so ready to accept as a piece of the paranormal and things that have terrified people for so long, hopefully you're here to shed a little light on that with us and talk about that. Let's hear some of the top ones that you could talk about that people really seem to be frightened by that, that actually is a total, you know, regular occurrence that is normal for everybody.
Well, let me give you one. And before we start, let me just say that there are times where problems or situations are a combination of the normal human condition plus somewhat of a supernatural influence or element mixed in there. So I'm not saying that it's a black or white situation. It's, you know, sometimes has a little bit of shading to it. But let me give you the classic one, which is the old hag syndrome, which many, many people and many clients will call and say, you know, I wake up and I see this thing in the room. Or, you know, I had this really bad dream and I woke up and it was standing in the room looking at me. Or even more intense, I woke up and I was paralyzed and this thing came and it sat on the bed and it looked at me and it said, I'm going to get you, or whatever it might be. Many people don't understand that there's a natural mechanism in your brainstem that anesthetizes your motor system, basically paralyzes you while you're sleeping so that you don't act out your dreams physically and, you know, your legs move like you're walking in the bed when you're dreaming of walking. And sometimes the system will occasionally throughout your life basically go a little haywire, and you'll start to wake up, but your motor system will still be shut off. And so you'll essentially be laying there, paralyzed, only able to move your eyes, not able to scream. And the thing that gets mixed in with it is you're still groggy, still half asleep, probably still dreaming about whatever shook you awake, which is likely a scary thing if it jarred you awake. And so now you're laying there, having these strange thoughts. You're still half asleep, so you can't discriminate a good idea from a bad one, and you're paralyzed.
Right.
It's very common during that's what's called a hypnagogic state, which just means a twilight between sleeping and awake, very common to hallucinate and see whatever you're dreaming about. And so the hallmark to look for, Dave, is does it go away in 10 or 15 or 20 seconds? And if it goes away and you shake it off and you sit up and, yeah, you're scared, your heart's pounding, but if you realize that, wow, it was in that little window of time when my body was still waking up, it's very likely it was not anything paranormal.
Well, let me ask you, though. Now, the old hag syndrome is that feeling of something pressing down on you, paralyzing you, and making your breath kind of go away from you, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, what is causing that? Is that just the anesthesia that your brain is pumping out and you're just waking up a little too quickly so you're still not into full breathing mode and everything?
Well, there's two possible things that mix in there. The most likely one is what you just described. That is, the voluntary motor system is not operating. The involuntary or the autonomic nervous system in your basal brain that runs your breathing, of course, your heartbeat's still going, you're still breathing. But let's say you wanted to take a deep breath right now, and you decided, okay, I'm going to go, and I take a breath. That's a voluntary motor response.
Right.
you're laying there paralyzed, and you're thinking, I want to scream, I'm trying to take a deep breath, I'm trying to gasp for air, but because that voluntary system is shut off, you feel like you're trying to open your chest and push your chest up, but it feels like you can't because that system's shut off. Your chest is just gently moving in its natural way, and your brain may interpret that as something pressing on your chest. The other piece that may be in play there for some people is a thing called sleep apnea, which is when we stop breathing while we're sleeping. And this happens to many, many people. Some people it's severe and it requires medical treatment. But this can also make you wake up. You essentially are laying there and you stop breathing while you're sleeping. Your body eventually goes into distress. You jar yourself awake because you're becoming anoxic and you need air. And you may jar yourself awake and feel like you're out of breath or you had the breath sucked out of you, but it's actually sleep apnea.
Okay. Well, now, the other thing that you said was that usually coming out of this hypnagogic state, which is at twilight before sleep or after sleep, is when this thing is seen more. Could it be? I mean, they've been able to prove at that point that your brain is more susceptible to certain things, right? They always say that if you want to learn, the best time to learn is right before you go to sleep and right when you wake up. So reading and trying to fill your mind with good things at those points are always good because your brain is in the right zone for that. Could it be, and I don't know how the brain works, but could it also be paranormal that that is also the times that your brain is most receptive to see things that normally we have? You know, apparently ghosts are all around us, if you believe the experts. And the, children can see them because they're still innocent and know that they, not smart enough to know they shouldn't see these things. Could it just be that those are the points in time when our mind is still relaxed enough that we're allowing ourselves to see these things before we mentally dismiss them?
Possibly. And let me say that, over time, I've gotten the sense that it's more about you're relaxing, imagine you're sitting at home in a quiet room and you're able to really chill out and relax.
Right.
And somebody were to speak really softly in the corner of the room, I think you're more likely to hear them and hear what they said and notice that that's going on than when you're in the middle of your hectic day, this and that's going on, you're thinking about five different things, and I think the subtle signals, the subtle stimuli are more likely to be lost because, in your own mind, you're like, you've got these huge lists of things to do and lots on your mind. And so I think part of it is that the background noise within your own mind and when your nervous system is calming down and you're getting ready to sleep makes you just not become more sensitive, but be less distracted by yourself.
Okay. Well, what are some of the other, if you could give us like another, just an example of things that people are usually frightened by that's just something physiological or something that is so normal that we just take it for a paranormal experience. Is there one other item that you can throw out there to maybe try to help people quell? So now I think you made people feel a little bit better when they go to sleep tonight. If they have that old hag system or syndrome going on, it's probably just that. So what you're saying is basically the dream is superimposing itself into the reality of waking state. And
yeah,
it's just that 1 second of time or that small window of time where reality and fantasy are mixing.
Yeah, and it's often can be, 10 or 15 seconds. The subjective experience of it can be longer because your sense of time is thrown off.
Right.
But it's generally quite brief. And the thing to do is just tell yourself, look, this is extremely likely this is a normal state, even though it's scary. I'm just going to wait it out. And just calm yourself and wait. And when you see that it lifts and you come back to normal, that, after a couple times, like if you're a person that's prone to have this every night or every couple nights, after a couple times of just staying calm, you will learn to recognize the state earlier and you will learn to calm yourself earlier and it will become a lot less distressing and then you'll just go back to sleep after it's over.
Now, is there something, and we'll kind of mix in a little bit of the paranormal side here and a little bit with your demonology side, if you do wake up and there's something standing there that doesn't belong there, that's obviously not a human that's intruded into your room, is there anything you can do immediately to protect yourself from whatever has entered your home?
You mean if it is actually something paranormal?
Right. I mean, is there something that you can do? If I wake up and I'm trying, okay, Dave, calm down. What did Adam tell me? About 20 seconds, just relax. This is probably a hypnagogic thing, and I'm okay. And 30, 40, 50 seconds into it, this thing is still tilting its head and looking at me, making the predator purr. I mean, is there anything I should do at that point to protect myself?
Well, sure. And you know, anything that I will say on the paranormal end comes from a Roman Catholic perspective. I'm Roman Catholic, and I work under church authority, and that's the way I address these things. So my response would be, in that circumstance, to do one or two things or both. Pray, and I always advise as a first prayer to use the prayer to St. Michael, which anybody can run a Google on and quickly find on the Internet. I suggest memorizing it for anybody involved in the paranormal field. St. Michael is an archangel that, from my understanding, of course, appears in the Catholic tradition, the Christian tradition, but also in the Islamic and the Jewish tradition. So he's an angel that many different faiths recognize. And that's a prayer of asking angelic beings to come help you. The second thing, and this is, a little more extreme, and I would only recommend it for people probably directly involved in the work, and that would be to use holy water. So I would be very cautious encouraging somebody to assume that something they saw in their room is something real in terms of it's a ghost or a demon. And I'd be really even more cautious to encourage them to start thinking that evil things are hunting them or harassing them or bothering them in their home, because that kind of thinking will cause you to have more nightmares and have more false experiences like this. So I'm cautious about it. But if I thought it was legitimate, I would say, hey, keep a bottle of holy water next to your bed. You know, say some prayers before you go to sleep asking for God to help you get through the night peacefully. And then if something does show up, say a prayer to St. Michael and basically hold your ground. Don't be afraid of it. Don't trash talk it. Don't yell at it. Just pray to God for assistance.
Well, that's something I wanted to bring up to you, just as somebody that is does a lot of this based on faith and religion. And again, you know, I'm not trying to bring religion under fire on the show here at all. I just have a question I've always been curious about is the Roman Catholics, you know, they have their idol, or not idols, their, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Saints?
Yeah, they're saints, they're, you know, Mary, all these people. If I'm afraid, why would I pray to St. Michael? Why wouldn't I pray to God and just ask for help right then and there? Is there a hierarchy? I mean, is it better to go to the? I would think if God's kind of running the show, he's the one I'd really want to go to. I don't want to have, you know, sure, Michael go get permission, or you know, what if Michael's busy eating a donut or something when I call for help? You know, I want to make sure I'm getting the guy with the power right away.
Yeah, and of course you're always free to pray directly to God. Part of that recommendation comes out of tradition, meaning we have many generations of exorcists and priests and laity that assist them that have learned through experience that this particular prayer is very potent and very useful in terms of getting quick help. And so part of that's just we've seen that it's really effective in practice.
Okay.
The broader answer to your question is, yes, of course, God is in charge of everything.
Okay.
And all of the angels are merely manifestations of God. When we pray to St. Michael, it's partly because in the Bible, St. Michael is the head angel that defeats the angels that rebelled. He's basically the general of God's army.
Okay.
And since it's angels that are really going to show up to save you, you're kind of asking the leader of the angels to dispatch somebody to come down and help you out. Now, of course, God can do the same thing.
Sure.
But we've just found that it's an easy prayer to memorize. It's really effective, and so therefore we recommend it. It's more based on experience.
So it's kind of like when there's a natural disaster, you don't call the president to bring in food and aid right away. You call the Red Cross.
Yeah,
right? It's kind of that, and then God, of course, or, you know, the president, of course, gives a permission to the Red Cross or whoever is in there to help out in the National Guard, and you know, is it? But you just go to the level that would be able to help you best. Is there a certain saint that I could pray to make sure that the shake machine works at McDonald's, because it's always down wherever I go?
I'll look into that,
yeah,
Dave.
Please.
I promise I'll get back to you with.
Because I've got to believe that's demonic interference, because I never can have a shake when I go to McDonald's, and it's really getting under my skin.
And I'm going to expedite that, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
We're going to get a letter to Rome drafted right away.
Dear Pope, could we please get an angel for the shake machines at McDonald's?
Yay.
Yes. All right, so now let's go in. Now, we've got... We've kind of talked about what we're doing here in the paranormal, and you've given some answers on that. Now, I would like to know, as we're transitioning into more of the demonology side here, and I know tonight's going to go by way too quick with you, and I'd like to, of course, have you back on again, and we can follow more into this. Do you believe that the shows that are out there, and I'm not trying to call, I know you and I are friends with guys that are members of all these TV shows and everything, but do you think that they've done more harm, in a sense, for inciting people into the field of the paranormal that people that shouldn't be there?
Well, Dave, from my perspective, yes, and in the sense of a lot of the shows don't talk about the more serious cases and the dangerous cases that are out there, and that's partly because I think the networks don't want to put that hardcore stuff on TV because it's genuinely scary. I think people have a level of scared they want to be, but you start talking about the D word and people get genuinely scared and they don't want to hear about that stuff. And so I think what has happened is that there's kind of this fascination of like, well, you know, here's a mystery. Am I going to be around after I die? Are ghosts real? And can I go get a thrill of being scared for a second in a safe way? And I think that's the message that's come across. And so many young people are thinking like, well, let me get some flashlights and we'll form a paranormal group and go to my grandmother's house because it's haunted and it'll be fun. Well, unfortunately, in reality, it's often not fun because the people that actually call us are people in genuine distress. They're in tears. They're afraid for their children. Their lives are being torn apart. And it's not fun. And unfortunately, the TV shows, and it's not their fault, I think it's more about the networks, don't educate the public on the seriousness of the bad cases. And so I think a lot of young people are going out there and they're just kind of curious and exploring and they think it's neat, but they haven't been warned that there are some real powerful negative forces. And don't misunderstand me. God is infinitely more powerful and God is in charge of them. They are restrained and only act with his permission. So don't give them more credit than they're due. But they are dangerous. And if you're not called into the work by God to do this, to be around these forces, they can hurt you badly.
All right. Well, that's a good start. Why don't we take a quick break? You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Adam Bly. Adam is a psychologist. He's a demonologist and a parapsychological detective, if you will. He's an investigator and does quite a bit with the investigations of paranormal events. And a fantastic speaker. We're going to have more with Adam. We'll be back more with him right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
You have an interest in the unknown. We want to know more about the paranormal. Come and join us in Para Investigators, the 24/7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, my co-host and lovable and cuddly guy that he is, Mr. Tim Dennis. Tim, talking to Adam here for the first part of the show, and your growing interest in the paranormal with the show as well, is there anything that you have that you'd like to kind of ask Adam about or anything direction-wise, especially with the, you know, we just started to touch on the use of the paranormal in these TV shows and how it's affecting so many people to get involved into the paranormal, and maybe they're going in over their heads. Is there any questions you had at all for Adam?
Not at this point, Dave, no.
Okay, good. And anyway, just throwing it out there, giving him a chance here. Everybody's always on me. Why don't you let Tim talk? It's because Tim's, you know, the board guy.
He I'm a bump on a log.
Yeah, that's pretty it. Much. No, he's very talented. Anyway, so Adam, let's get back into it then. For the demonology side of things, people are getting involved. They think it's cool. It's extreme. It's, oh, man, if I'm going to do it, I want to be the team demonologist. First of all, what goes into becoming a demonologist? If I just read a bunch of books on demonology and I've studied demons, does that make me a demonologist?
Well, the short answer is no. It's a word that's really kind of hard. I mean, you know, strictly it just means study of demons, but that doesn't really sum up what we do. First of all, there's no school, there's no degree, there's no way to really prove that you're legitimately a demonologist. What do we do? Well, you can read books. It's not going to prepare you because the verbal tradition of being taught by other people is where most of the real information is. So first off, if you read books, you're not going to know what you're doing. Most importantly, demonology is a calling. It's not a choice. If you want to be a demonologist, there's a problem. Nobody wants to go into a room and confront and meet pure evil and invite the backlash of that confrontation into their life. Anybody that wants to do that, there's a problem. And if somebody wants to do that because they think they're going to control the demon or get power from it, that's a lie. So, you know, first off, somebody has to ask themselves the question of why do I want to get involved in this stuff? Why would I want, you know, to
exactly. Yeah, and boy, I would, you know, that would be like the, you know, I don't know much about demonology except for what I'm beginning to learn from you and from what I've read in some of the books that you've recommended, but that's like the field, and I'm not, you know, trying to come off as a big pansy and terrified of everything, but that's like the field I would be least interested in because it seems to open up the doors to the most crap that could go wrong in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
So so now go ahead and give us a heads up. What all should go into the thought before you make this decision that demonology is your calling?
Okay. There's four parts to this. First, there's something that I call reciprocal discernment. And that's fancy language for you have to feel that God's calling you into it and somebody who's already in the work that's, you know, pretty far along needs to also feel that God's telling them you should be involved. So it's not as simple as Adam says, oh, you know, I went to church today and I really felt, you know, that God was saying that I should go out and try to be his instrument in helping these people. There has to be somebody else that says, hey, Adam, God's telling me also that you should be doing this work. So that's the first piece. You're called, somebody else is told. Second piece, you have to be supernaturally protected. And what that means is, basically, you go in these situations and you don't go crazy or end up dead. And I don't mean that in a flip, dramatic way. I'm being very serious. There are people that have been institutionalized semi-permanently, permanently. There's people that have died. There's people that have been severely wounded. God will protect the people that he sends into these situations. If you choose as a human to go in against a demon without being an instrument of God, without God's protection, you're a mere mortal facing a fallen angel, a supernatural entity that's way more powerful than you. So basically, there has to be protection. Then there's got to be efficacy, meaning you go into these situations and you actually do some good. It's not to say that, hey, Dave, you went in that room and there was that possessed person and you didn't go crazy and you left, but you had no effect on the situation. And, of course, you never do. It's God moving through you that has an effect. So the most important things are feeling the call, somebody else feels a call related to you. You're protected, and you have efficacy.
Okay.
And then you might say, well, wow, maybe I really should be in this work. Now, there's another piece there that some people in the deliverance field talk about. They don't talk about it so much in the exorcism field, but basically, if you feel fear when you go into these situations, and it's natural, Dave, to feel some skittishness, some fear, especially when you're facing a new situation, which is very common in this field. But if you feel overwhelming, wetting your pants fear, there's a problem, because basically, it's hard to describe, but God enables you to feel a faith and a sense of protection that lets you not really be afraid, even when things are getting crazy.
Okay.
And that's something that just happens for some people and it doesn't for others. Like, there's some people that have a healthy, normal response, which is, there's no way I want to do that. That's
right.
Insane. You're nuts.
That's,
you know,
right.
I would never do that. And that's a healthy response. And then there's other people that are like, well, you know, if I had to do it, I would do it. And for me, at least, that lack of fear partly comes from when you feel that call and you respond to it. I hesitate to say this because it's going to sound like I'm being dramatic or it's an ego thing, but it's not.
No, not at all.
Basically, your life is forfeit. Like, if you're afraid to lose your life, if you're afraid that they're going to kill you, then that fear will crush you, because they certainly will threaten your life. And you do know that, you know, there have been cases where they've been allowed to kill people. And so you kind of have to get past that fear. And you have to basically give your life to God completely, so that when you go in the situation, it's like, and the demon says, well, we're going to kill you tonight, or we're going to kill you when you get home. You know, the response needs to be, well, if God's going to let you do it, do it. And move on. And say, but, you know, but we're here to take care of what we're here to take care of.
Well, that removes a lot of their power, too, and you don't have that fear, that inert fear kind of built into you all the time if you have your faith that it's going to get you through it. When it's your time, it's your time, whether the demon's going to get you or a taco from Taco Bell's
exactly.
You know, salmonella poisoning or something, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So those are some of the elements of this that need to be in place in your life before you should even consider going into situations where there's demons present.
Okay. So for the people that are getting involved now, I know it's dangerous, and you said you basically your life is forfeit to this field. Would you recommend Dave Schrader, father of six, to become a demonologist?
No, and I would be very suspect of you telling me that you feel God's calling you into demonology if you're already a father and have a family and children that are depending on you. Because I would wonder if that's a trick. Because there are people with families in demonology, and that is completely fine. And if they get to a point where they're stable in their work and they pray about it and they feel like God wants them to have a family, to have some normalcy in their life, some stability, that's one thing. But, you know, really after you're really experienced and you're stable, if you're like, hey, you know, I'm already a father and I've got all these kids and I think I'm going to go experiment, it's probably not good, because we do experience backlash. We do experience stuff showing up at our home, kicking our butt once in a while in retaliation for a case or trying to scare us before we go on a case. You get used to all that, but for me, I would be very hesitant to, in a sense, put my loved ones at risk for having to experience that.
And right, so because they will start to, they go after your, you know, your spouse and your kids because they know that that's your weak spot, right?
Well, only if God allows them to. So generally, family members are protected, just like the family members of possessed people are generally protected by God as innocent bystanders.
Okay.
So I would think it would be very unlikely a demon would be given license by God to come and hurt your children. I doubt that would happen. Now, if you got involved in demonology and you were conjuring demons, you were trying to control them, you were messing with them, then that protection from God very likely won't be present, and your family may get hurt. I think if it was Dave Schrader, as long as you were doing things in good faith and you said, I stumbled on this situation, I was in the middle of it, I don't want to be a demonologist, this isn't my thing, but suddenly, you know, I had to do something to save that child, I did it, I prayed to God, that's the last time I'll ever see this stuff, and I got out. A situation like that, I would think your family's probably safe. But if you overstep your bounds, I think you're putting your loved ones at risk. So, you know, that's a long-winded answer, but basically, I'd be very cautious.
So for people out there that have family and friends and think they're strong enough, see, I do have concerns. I mean, you did a speak for us last week. you did a presentation for us at the Warwick, Rhode Island event that we did a few weeks ago. And it had such an impact that four people actually got up and left and told me that they didn't even want to do the paranormal investigation because they were too freaked out by the whole thought.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were a few people, and one of them is somebody I care for very deeply. She's a sweet girl, but demonology is something she's very into, and she feels she's empowered enough and strong enough to defend it, even though she has a family and children. And mm-hmm. I am concerned for her because I understand her conviction and faith in her own abilities, but again, like you say, you can't let ego be a part of it. It's got to be a power from elsewhere, not yourself. You can't defeat the demons.
Oh, no, no. Right. All you can add to the equation is obedience. So, like I said before, if you want to do this, if you want to confront them, there's a problem there. Nobody wants to. You're called to, and you say, okay, people are suffering. God's revealed to me that why these particular people are suffering, and he's saying, you can go into that horrible situation and maybe do some good if you're obedient. But it's going to be really ugly. It's going to be horrible, and your life's going to be changed forever. You choose to do it not because you're like, I'm empowered. I want to do this. This is my mission. You choose to do it because you see suffering, and you know there's going to be a price tag associated, but you choose to be obedient. So it's not like you're fired up going in there. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this for God. I'm glad to do it, but I'm not excited. You know what I mean? It's not
definitely
cool. It's not cool is what I'm saying.
Okay. What can people do? You know, unfortunately, we've only got about 7-8 minutes left here on the show. Mm-hmm. What can people do to protect themselves from demonic attacks or demonic possession? What are things that we can do to look out for or to help protect our family and ourselves from it if we're interested in the paranormal?
Well, number one is get your spiritual life in order, meaning be very close to God. If you're a Catholic, make sure you go to confession, go to Mass, receive communion, read whatever, you know, read your Bible. If you're a different religion, assuming it's oriented towards good, read and meditate on whatever you're doing. Align yourself with God. Pray a lot. Pray for protection. And pray for God to tell you if you've gone too far, you should not go further. Learn the prayer to St. Michael. If anything ever comes around you or you feel a bad presence, say that prayer. If your religion involves holy water or holy symbols, put a holy symbol up in your home in plain view where you sleep. Make sure it's blessed. You know, beyond that, you get into specifics under different faiths. You know, my approach is Roman Catholic, so those are that's where I would start with people.
Are there Lutheran demonologists? I mean, exorcists? I know there's Roman Catholic, you've got some for the Jewish faith, some for the other faiths, but are there Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist exorcists that do this as well, or is it only usually through the Roman Catholic Church that you find help for these kind of situations?
Well, most Protestant faiths do exorcisms, but they call it deliverance. And an exorcism, to be clear, is for when it's actual possession. Deliverance is when it's oppression or infestation, where it's not full possession. An exorcism is a formal ritual done when the demon's actually in the person. And by the way, that's free will. The person has accepted the demon. So they don't just come along and jump in you. There are a couple exceptions to that I won't get into for time. But by and large, it's a choice. Protestant faiths generally do deliverance work, which is basically praying and invoking Jesus' name to drive the demon out. An exorcism is a formal ritual.
Okay.
And that's generally only the Roman Catholics, generally.
Well, now you say you can't be possessed unless you've invited it in.
Mm-hmm.
How can you invite something like that in? How can we avoid doing that? I mean, is it something as simple as saying, damn it, I'm just never going to make the bills this month. Boy, I'd sell my soul to get, you know, something as canny or corny as we've seen in the TV and movies. Is that how it happens? Or is it messing with the Ouija board or talking to mediums or, you know, sacrificing your firstborn son? I don't know. What exactly are you doing to invite in the evil?
Well, it's a combination of you inviting the evil in and the evil being interested in you as a target. There's plenty of people that play with Ouija boards and not much comes of it. And then there's people that mess with Ouija boards or do spirit communication, and the demon, which, by the way, of course, poses as something nice and friendly, or your grandmother or an angel or a spirit guide until it's too late, comes and works its way into your life. They only show their cards that they're a demon at the last moment, right before they say, we'll cure your cancer and you'll live 10 more years, but you have to come with us when you're done. Or, we'll stop your house from being foreclosed, you'll be wealthy, you'll be fine with money, but you have to come with us when you're done. And
that really does happen.
Yes, and they come at you at your weakest point. When you want to save your child and your child is laying on that surgery table, and they come to you and they say, we'll make that aneurysm not kill your child, but you have to give yourself up for it. They'll come at your weakest time.
Wow.
And I've had many people come up to me after talks or at conferences, and they're like, you know, listen, this thing came to me. It spoke in my head as clear as day. It told me it was a demon, and it said, here's the deal, yes or no.
We have a question here. I'm sorry, a question here. We've got about 4 minutes left, but can you hypnotize? Well, I know we've talked in deals. You've worked in hypnotism as well, and you were hypnotizing somebody to help them with another issue when a possessed spirit came out. Now, I think it was in The Exorcist, wasn't it, Tim, where they hypnotized the demon inside Reagan. And I know this is all flash for Hollywood, but can you actually hypnotize the demon that's inside of the host?
No, I really doubt that. Nobody can answer that question clearly because we just don't know enough about the internal states when somebody's possessed. But my guess would be absolutely not. Generally, when we hypnotize, and many people have tried hypnosis with possessed people in various contexts, basically the demons just come out and they say, you know, get out of here. We're not going to even let you do this. And it just turns into a confrontation, just like any other confrontation with the demons.
So, again, if you have background in hypnosis and somebody calls you in, you shouldn't be messing with this stuff either.
No, it's extremely dangerous to hypnotize somebody who's possessed because you're basically going to force the demon to come forward and you're going to end up in a nose-to-nose confrontation with the demon. And unless you're equipped to do that, and that's very special, meaning you better be a priest that's involved in the work or a demonologist who's really experienced and can handle that, you're going to have a peck of trouble.
How about the fact that I've been married twice? Does that give me any strength? No.
Perhaps.
I mean, I've come up against evil quite a bit in my life. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's not the women, it's the six kids, Adam, I swear. They're all evil. All right. Well, you know, I appreciate you giving us the insights on the different things here. And, of course, we've only scratched the surface.
Sure.
Now, you've got an article up at about demonology and such at Rosemary Ellen Guiley's site. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically, yep.
Okay, so if people go to visionaryliving.com, I believe it is, and I'll put up a link for that as well, is that something that's up for anybody to go and read a little bit more about?
Sure.
And do you have any more literature up, or are there any books that you recommend people should take a look at?
Yeah, the best book I would say, it's a recent one called Interview with an Exorcist. And it's written by Father Fortea in Spain. He's currently the only person that's done a PhD on exorcism. He's a Roman Catholic priest. He's a wonderful person, and I would recommend reading that book as a good start.
Okay, and that's Interview with an Exorcist.
Yep.
And it's by Father.
Yeah, Fortea.
Fortea, F-O-R-T-E-A. Okay. And so you can look that information up. And again, we'll put a link up at our site for you to go take a look and read Adam's article about demonology. And then if we could also make a mention, Adam will be joining us on the Queen Mary trip, which is coming up January 14th through the 17th. And he's astounding to see in person and to see some of the stuff that he's able to share with you and teach you. It was so cool at the beginning of your talks to hear, you know, how many people here are interested in the demonology aspect of it. And so many people raise their hand and, oh yeah, this is, and how many people at the end of the talk, when you said, okay, who's ready to sign up? How many people had their hands so far down, you know, that there was no interest at all. And again, it wasn't even that you were scaring the hell out of them. It wasn't, you weren't showing flash and dazzle and green pea soup and head spinning and, you know, names being clawed on your chest. It's just speaking of the potential dangers and the things that you have to go through as being a real demonologist that you have to watch out for. So Adam will be with us on the Queen Mary, and that's January 14th through the 17th. You can look up information on our website there. You can also go. Now, can they contact you at your studio for your artwork that you do as well?
Maybe, but I'd rather just limit this to helping people with the religious and the paranormal stuff. But,
okay, well, I thought if you'd like to promote your artistic venues as well, he will be at the events offering up light paintings, which are amazing, that he does, and he will take you as a subject and turn it into just beautiful artwork. So you'll be able to get that at the Queen Mary and at the Stanley events as well. Adam, thank you very much for spending the evening with us. I'm sorry it went by so quickly. Let's have you back on again here in the future, okay?
Have a peaceful night.
You too. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. We will be back at the top of the hour when our next guest is Mr. Patrick Burns from the TV show Haunting Evidence. Stay with us. Thank you very much for listening. We'd also like to thank our friends out at WNJC AM 1360 in New Jersey and Philadelphia. We'll be back with more of the show right after this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.